It's a great pleasure to be here with you on this special night that we've been doing for 20 years, maybe. I don't know exactly how many years. But it's a night that has changed the lives of our families and our community. Sometimes we look at nights and we say, it's just another night. We were here last year and the year before. But it's not another night. It's not another community. It's not another year. So much is happening. There's so much that we have to be proud of. And so much of it comes from nights like these. Hashem should give you, Rabbi, continued success and hatzlacha in all that you do for our community and for the Jewish people. Amen. I want to share with you a Mishnah Perkei Avot. Somewhat of a shocking Mishnah. Seems to be a little bit of an exaggeration of a Mishnah. I'll read it to you as is. It says, Hanneor Balaila, a person who's up at night. And he's chilling out. Maybe he's supposed to be sleeping. He's up. Ve'hamalech baderech yahidi. And someone who's traveling on a road trip, and he's by himself. And again, he's relaxing. He's traveling, he's going somewhere. He's not learning. So he's up at night. And he's not learning. He's traveling alone. And he's not learning. So says the Mishnah, Hareze mitchayev benafsho. Basically, the Mishnah is saying this guy's soul condemned. Mitchayev benafsho. Disaster of a person. I don't know what to say. I mean, first of all, it's nice to know that you have to spend your time learning if you have time. So if you're up at night, use it. I get that. If you're traveling, open a book, learn something. So if someone doesn't do it, okay, so I would say he did not such a good thing. Sometimes in life we do not such good things. But to say mitchayev benafsho, you're condemning the guy's soul. You're saying this guy, forget about it. He's a disaster. What did he do? This guy, by the way, when he's up during the day, he learns. When he's traveling with his havruta, they learn. He just happens to be alone in these situations, so he's taking it easy. How can such a terrible crime, excuse me, such a small action translate into such a terrible reaction? So I'd like to explain this Mishnah to you tonight. And I hope that it gives us a path for one of the most important areas of our lives. There's a midrash that says, that there were people in the desert when they were about to do Korban Pesach, that these people were teme'im, they were not pure. Why were they not pure? Because they were carrying the bones of Yosef. As you know, the bones of Yosef had to be transported from Egypt all the way to the land of Israel. Yosef is buried in Shechem. Till today, they have Kever Yosef. So they carried him for 40 years. So came time for Korban Pesach, and the people who were carrying his coffin, they could not bring the Korban Pesach because they were not pure. You touch a dead body, you're not pure. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Moshe, why should we miss out? And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell them they're going to have Pesach Sheni. 30 days later, they're going to have another Pesach. The Midrash calls it Pesach Katan, a small one. Says the Midrash, Hashem told Yosef HaTzadik, so lucky you are, you're so fortunate. Because of you, Yosef, the Jewish people get to celebrate Pesach Sheni. You're so lucky. What a zechut you have. That in the desert, they made Pesach Sheni because of you. Obviously, this Midrash doesn't make sense. Because what's better, Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni? I think Pesach Rishon, during Pesach, you bring Korban Pesach, you do the Haggadah, there's no Hametz. Pesach Sheni is like a makeup. It's not even during Pesach. What kind of merit is that? The merit is Pesach Sheni? The merit is Pesach Rishon. If not for Yosef's bones, they would be doing the best Pesach. So why does God tell him, you're so fortunate because of you, there's Pesach Sheni? I'd like to share with you a very important thought that's relevant to all of us. You see, many of us, some start off that way and some end this way. But many of us are doing a lot of good things in our lives. The people in this room for sure. We're doing many good things every day. We're praying with a minyan. We're learning Torah. We're giving tzedakah. We're keeping Shabbat. We're here preparing for Kippur. But so much of what we do has to do because other people are also doing it. I wonder sometimes how many people would keep Shabbat if nobody else was keeping Shabbat. How many of us are keeping Shabbat because that's what people do? How many people are praying every day because that's what people do? How many people would be here tonight if only one person showed up? You. Sometimes we begin that way. We just like to do what people are doing. Good things. And sometimes we start off on our own, but somehow as we get excited and connected, it just becomes what we do, not so much what I do. Especially in this beautiful community, like many other communities, the power of the community is so great. Look at a night like this. So many thousands of people are here listening. It's so beautiful when you walk the streets on Shabbat and you see Shabbat in our streets. You come to tefillah and people all over the place, this minyan, that minyan, people learning, can't find a place to sit. The power of the community that changes people's lives. People want to be a part of it. But there's a very big danger to a community. The danger of community is that you forget that it's really about you. Communities aren't great. There's no person called community. Your life is about you. Yes, it's beautiful to be inspired by others. It's beautiful to live in a great community. But it's not about the community. It's about what you're doing. So is what you're doing because of you? Or are you doing because that's what we do? Pesach Rishon is the Pesach that everybody's doing. That's gorgeous. It's the best Pesach. It's on time. But there's something very special about Pesach Sheni, in that nobody else was making Pesach that time. Nobody's going to the Beit HaMikdash. There's nobody in Yerushalayim. They packed out. If you went to Yerushalayim a month after Pesach, you'd see nobody there. The people are back home already. There's no excitement. There's no music in the streets. People are eating chametz. But yet, individuals went and made Pesach Sheni. Hashem tells Yosef HaTzadik, you're so fortunate that because of you, we have people making Pesach Sheni. Because of you, we have individuals that are keeping mitzvot. We have individuals that want to pray. We have individuals that are keeping Shabbat. We have individuals praying. We have individuals who are doing their Avodat Hashem. And why Yosef, out of all people, got this merit? Surely it wasn't only because of his bones. Because perhaps there's nobody in the history of the Jewish people that was more of an individual than Yosef HaTzadik. A man who had no community. He lost his family. He lost his parents. He had nobody in Egypt. He was by himself. No one to learn from. No one to be with. No minyan. No havruta. No rabbi. No night of inspiration. Nothing. An individual in Egypt. You're by yourself. What happens to you if you live by yourself? Yosef HaTzadik in Egypt didn't even have his own freedom. Even himself he didn't have. And yet we see Yosef, the individual. Ve'Yosef haya be'Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says. Who Yosef? The same Yosef that lived in the community. The same Yosef that was with his family. The same Yosef that was with his father. Through and through, the same Yosef. Yosef, the individual, is what made him great. Being part of a community makes you fortunate. But being an individual in the community makes you special and makes you great. We always have to reassess. 1 second, Shabbat's coming. It's my Shabbat. It's Shabbat I'm keeping. Not that we are keeping. I'm going to learn. I'm going to give charity. Even though there's 100 other people here. But I came to give. This is my mitzvah. I do because of me. That was Yosef HaTzadik. I'm not sure if you know this, but the Midrash says that in the desert, when the Jewish people were traveling, there were two boxes that traveled with them. One was the box of the Luhot, the Aron HaKodesh, where the Torah, the Holy Torah was, the tablets. And one was the box of Yosef's bones. The passers-by, when they saw two boxes traveling with the Jewish people, they would ask, why are there two boxes with you? What are these? So they would say, well, this one is the Aron HaKodesh. This is the holiest box on the planet. And this one is the box of a dead man. I said, what? Midrash says that people would say, "V'chi efshar? Really? Isn't that like disrespectful? That you put, it's very nice for the bones of Yosef, but isn't that disrespectful for the Aron HaKodesh? The holiest item on planet Earth. The item we got from heaven. Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down. That it should travel next to the bones of a dead body? That's the way you guys put things together? What a shidduch. The living Torah and the bones of a dead man. Amru lahem. And they would answer them, "Oh no. Met sheba'aron zeh. The person who's in that box, that met. Kiyem, he fulfilled ma shekatuv ba'aron kodesh zeh. He fulfilled what it says in that box." So what's the answer? Still the same question. The answer is that a person could look at the Kodesh, could look at this Torah, and not really understand what it wants from you. You could fulfill all the mitzvot and still not know what you're supposed to be doing. Because you're with everybody. But Yosef is a man that taught us what this Torah means. There's a Torah and there's someone who explained to us that it's about the individual, it's about the person. So that's why they carried both boxes together. But being an individual has more branches than the one I mentioned. Being an individual is the ability to see yourself in a unique way and to see yourself being able to accomplish from where you are. You see, people in life have challenges. We all have challenges. That we would have chosen something else. Maybe we don't like the home that we were born into. Maybe we don't like the school that we went to. Maybe we're not happy with our height. Maybe we're not happy with our IQ. Maybe we're not so happy with our financial situation. Maybe we're not so happy with our health. I'm sure everybody here has got a list of things that they would have loved if they could have been different. Maybe a change in the husband. Maybe in the wife. Maybe a more understanding mother-in-law. Just the list goes on. We get frustrated so many times by our situation. We didn't date yet. We didn't find yet. We don't have a child yet. We have a child, but I wish we didn't have one. Why does that kid next door, why is he always a superstar? My son is in P3, his whole school career. If they had P5, he'd be in that too. He's always getting help. He's always, why can't I have normal kids? My kids don't behave. My son is not well. My kids aren't getting married. It's such a struggle. On and on. So we think that the struggles is the reason why we're not satisfied. It's the reason why we're broken. Sometimes you look at a person and you could tell they're just broken. Maybe you don't know what it is, but it's something. They walk around and like the smile is absent, the energy is fading. They're just not there. You could find it in teenagers for sure. Once the people turn bar mitzvahs already, they start walking around. They're frustrated with their friends. They're frustrated with themselves. They look in the mirror. They don't like the way they look. All kinds of issues starts from a teenager and just keeps going. And it's not the way. A person should know that it's not the issues that's making them feel frustrated. It's not your son that's making you feel frustrated. It's not your weakness that's making you feel frustrated. It's not that. So what is it? What it is that you keep looking at other people. Because you're not an individual. You keep looking over your shoulders and you see that kid is so much better than yours. And they have so much more money than you do. And they're so much prettier. And they're so much more successful. When you live as a group of people, it's very frustrating. Because ultimately, there are going to be many things that other people have that you don't have. The frustration isn't that you don't have it. The frustration is that you're looking at others. It's not that you're not married that's frustrating you. That's not really what it is. It's that other people are. Of course, you want to be married, but that's not where the bulk of it comes from. And all of life situations are such. To live as an individual means that you don't look at other people to compare yourself. It means to look at your life and understand that you've been placed in this position for a reason. Hashem put you in your home. He wanted you to be in your family. There's a reason why you're born there. I told the story a few times. Happened years ago. A young man in high school comes over to me. Maybe he's 16, 17. He says, Rabbi, I decided that I'm not eating home on Shabbat anymore. Friday night, Shabbat afternoon, I'm going out. He wants just for me to stamp it. I said, why would you do that? He says, if you sat by my house and you sat on that table, you'd understand. The Lashon Hara, the talk, the this, the that. Rabbi, I just can't do it anymore. So you get it, right? So where's the stamp? I told him, I don't know you well enough to stamp you, but I will tell you one thing that I hope you don't forget. I said, there's a reason why you're not the son of the chief rabbi of Israel. There's a reason why you're not the son of the Gadol Hador. Hashem didn't put you in your home by accident. There's a reason why you're there. You have a responsibility to these people. I don't know if you should leave Friday night or Shabbat. You got to ask someone who knows you better. But one thing is for sure. You have a responsibility. Don't run away from who you are. You got to figure out from here how to get somewhere. Your mission in life is specifically from where you are. It's specifically from what you're given. The child that's making you crazy, that's your mission. The challenge that you have in whatever area, that is part of your success. Don't think it's a problem that's holding you down. It's actually what's going to make you great. I once saw a beautiful explanation that if you look here at the two tablets on top of me, you'll see that the last commandment in the first tablet is Kaved et avicha ve'et imecha. Honor your father and your mother. And in the second tablet, the last one says, Lo tahmod. Don't be jealous. I saw once a great, beautiful explanation. What's the connection between those two commandments? Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha means honor where Hashem put you in life. Your father and mother doesn't just mean your biological father and mother. It means where Hashem put you in this world. The family you were born into, the brothers and sisters that you have, the situation that you were given, and all else that came with it. Kabed, have honor for it. Respect it. And make something of it. But you say, how can I do that? But I'm missing A, I'm missing B, I'm missing C. How? Says the Torah. Continue reading. Lo tahmod. Stop looking at other people. It's the other people that's making you feel frustrated. If you looked at yourself and at your mission, you would be doing a much greater job. You would learn better. You would be happier. You would be stronger. You would accomplish. Because you and only you can become the great you. And it's from where you are. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, from where do we know that if someone has something about themselves that's not so great, not so exciting, that they should stand up and say it? Be the first one to stand up and say it. Where do we learn that from? First of all, I didn't know that we were supposed to do that. Gemara says we learn it from a great man. His name is Eliezer. When Eliezer came to the family of Rivka and he introduced himself, he said, Eved Avraham Anochi. You know who I am? I am the slave of Avraham. Who asked him? He could have said, my name is Eliezer. They didn't know who he was. Why did he get up and say, I am the slave of Abraham? Gemara says, from here we learn that if you have something about you that's not so great, get up and say it. Why? Isn't it better to keep it hidden away? What are you saying it for? What does the Gemara mean altogether? Based on another Midrash, the Midrash says that Eliezer, when he realized he was a slave, that's how he was born into a slave family. I mean, you could try to change things in life, obviously, but sometimes it is what it is. Eliezer decided, if I'm going to be a slave, let me be the slave of someone really great. And he became the slave of Avraham Avinu. You know, most people who will be slaves, they're trying to hide or trying to run away from slavery. But then there are people who take what they were given and they stand up and they make something of it. If you were given something that was difficult, stand up. You don't have to announce it, but stand up and make something big of it. Don't use it as an excuse. Use it as a stepping stool. You know, you might be surprised that some of the greatest accomplishments in life happen because of difficulty. I'm sure you heard of the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is the gold standard in Talmud learning. Any yeshiva in the world right now probably has one of his books out, learning it, understanding his question. Why he didn't ask it this way? Why he didn't answer it that way? Rabbi Akiva Eiger is the top. This man, one of the greatest Jews that ever lived in Torah learning. When he passed away, They found that he gave them what to write on his matzeva. He wanted something special written on his tombstone. Tombstone, you write something that's meaningful, not for the honor of the person only, more importantly for the people who walk by and they're visiting this great person. They want to know what makes him great, what makes him special. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger wants, when people walk by, to understand what's called special. He said, Tzadik, Kivre Tzadikim. I remember from 45 years ago, my father, Alav HaShalom, taking me to Kivre Tzadikim. Every Erev Kippur, we're going to Kivre Tzadikim. We're going to visit the Tzadikim, the ones that are buried. But why the Tzadikim? What makes them special? So read the tombstone. This one did this, this one did that. So what's Rabbi Akiva Eiger going to write in his tombstone? What does he want you to know about his life? He asked that the following words should be written. Saval Yisurin Kol Yamav. Basically, it means he suffered all his life with happiness. He saw that at his greatest accomplishment. The very fact that you can have a hard time in life and you could be happy and you could be strong and you could move forward and you could inspire and you could write books and you could teach students and you could be who you should be, despite the difficulty of your day. In this country, having a hard day, it's an excuse to take off a week. People say, what's wrong? You don't look yourself, you know what happened yesterday. But that was already 3 days ago. You're still going, you're still moving on. Come on! That's a great accomplishment, that you're having a hard time, you pick yourself up, and you find the strength, and you find the happiness, and you continue to accomplish. Rabbi Akiva Eiger saw that as his biggest life accomplishment. He's having a hard day, and he's doing great despite. But to do that, you have to be mechabed, you have to honor where Hashem puts you in life. The third branch of being an individual comes from a Gemara in Masechet Berachot. The Gemara says the great sage, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was on his deathbed. And his students came to visit him. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is known to be one of the greatest sages in the history of the Jewish people. And he's on his deathbed and his students walk in. The Gemara says, Kevan shera'a otam. Once he saw them, he started to cry. And they asked him, Rabbi, what are you crying for? There's no bigger human on the planet than you. Why are you crying? He says to them, he says, you know, I'm about to leave the world and there's going to be two roads. He says, one road is Gan Eden, and one road is Gehinam. Ve'eni yodeya, and I don't know. Be'ezo molichin oti, I don't know where they're going to take me. Ve'lo efkeh, I shouldn't cry. The two obvious questions on this story. Number one is, why did he cry only when he saw his students? As the Gemara says, Kevan shera'a otam, when he saw his students, he started to cry. Why didn't he cry before? If you're worried about where you're going, what's the difference if your students are there or not? And number two, who are they? He said, I don't know where they're going to take me. Who's they? Isn't God one? God's not two. Who are they? He should say, I don't know where he's going to take me. Who are they? And this goes to another important area of life, my dear friends, is as individuals, not only do we have to keep our own mitzvot, not only do we have to find the strength and happiness in our difficult situations, but we have to recognize that we have a mission in life that's unique to us. For some people, they were blessed with money. When you're blessed with money, it's not a blessing. It's a major assignment to change the world with your money. It's a calling. God is calling you. He's saying, hey, you have something big to do in life. The money isn't given to you as a reward for being born. It's given it to you as a mission to do something with it. You'll say, but I give charity like they give charity. But no. But you have more. You have to do more. It's not enough to look at what other people are giving. You got to step up. You know, we know you have to give 10 or 20% of your earnings and not more. But a person who's very wealthy can give even more than that. It's a mission of life. It's not only the wealthy man that has a mission. It's the talented man that has a mission. You have a talent. You're able to inspire people through your music. That's a mission. Figure it out. You have a great voice. You can't sit on the side and say, nah, it's not for me. I want to relax. I make money in business. I don't need... No. You got to use it. If you could teach people, you have to teach. You have to step up. If you're able to teach students, so many beautiful young men and so many beautiful young ladies are growing up in our community. Let me tell you something. Nobody can reach our community students than our community rabbis and teachers. And I'm sure it's that way in every community. You bring someone from outside, it's just not the same. But who's going to want to teach? It doesn't pay like very great money. It's not always the most prestigious place. You got people complaining. You teach 25 students, 24 are doing great. But the only one you hear from is from the 25th one. The 24 never call you. So why would I do it? Why would I be a rabbi and teach students, to teach 5-year-olds, to teach 15-year-olds? Why would I be a morah to young ladies? Why would I do that? Why? What am I not getting a lot of money for it? Why would you do it? Because if that's what you're able to do, that's your life mission. When God gives you something special, you got to step up and you got to use it. Some people, for some reason, other people like them. For some reason, they're very well liked. They're beloved. Again, it's not just a blessing. It's an assignment. Get up and do something with it. Lead them somewhere. Take them somewhere. You can have 15-year-olds. One 15-year-old could be so popular. She could change a whole grade. One 16-year-old boy could change his whole class. If you have something special about you, people follow you. You have to understand that's a calling. Get up and do something. You're going to be measured by it. Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai was a great scholar. Tremendous Torah, tremendous mitzvot, tremendous tefillot. His whole life he was a tzaddik. But guess what? When his students walked in, he started to cry. Because he was also given a great responsibility to teach students. That he saw was his calling. When he saw his students, he was worried that maybe, despite all the beautiful things he did like everybody else and more, but his mission on being able to reach his students
Maybe he didn't do a good enough job. Maybe he was like the other rabbis, but he wasn't the rabbi he should have been. And therefore, when they walked in, he started crying and he says, I don't know which road they're going to take me on. Who are they? They are his students. They are his wealth. They are his talent. A wealthy guy says, listen, I pray every morning. I give charity like everybody else. I keep Shabbat. Well, what's the problem? I don't know. It's a big, big, big item you have. Whatever God gave you extra, that's what's going to take you to Gan Eden. It's that item. Whatever you were given that's special, don't think it's just a side item. It's what's going to take you to the next world. That's how big it is. And I will just end. With a story that we've probably said over many times. And every time we say it, there's another aspect, another powerful point that comes out of it. It's the first story in the Torah. Story of Adam who ate from the forbidden fruit. There was a great rabbi sitting in jail in Europe. And one of the people in the jail says, Rabbi, you know, your Torah doesn't make sense. When Adam ate from the tree, God told him or called out and said, Ayeka, where are you? God doesn't know, your God doesn't know where Adam is, what he lost him. What are you asking, where are you? I thought God knows everything. He's all-knowing. He knows what, not only where you are, he knows who you are. He knows inside your heart what you're thinking. He's asking, Ayeka, where are you? So the rabbi told him, if you looked a little further and saw Adam's response, you'd understand what Ayeka means. Because when Hashem told Adam, did you eat from the fruit? So Adam says, I did, because my wife gave it to me. She gave me from the fruit and I ate. Hashem was telling Adam Arishon, that's how you make decisions in life. You make decisions by following people. Because your wife gave you, that's why you ate. Ayeka, where are you? I put you in this world as an individual. I made you unique. You're your own person. What kind of excuse is it in life to say, well, that's what they do. That's what everyone does. That's where I grew up. Ayeka means, where are you? Your individual self. We always have to assess ourselves and see how much of what we're not doing in life is because of the others around us. I'll just end off by telling you on this point. That so much of who we are depends on the people that we're around. And we have no excuse to blame anyone for our decisions. But we must also realize that so much of who we are is dependent on the people that we stay with. We learn so much from our environment. When we sit with people, we're learning from them. They're affecting us. So many people will tell you, but I love that car. I'm not driving it because it's like showy. I just love it. I really, really, really love it. It's nothing to do with like the way it looks. I just love it. I just love that bag. I can't explain it to you. Has nothing to do with people looking at it. I love the bag. I just love this. And it's true. They really do love it. But the question is, why do they love it? My dear friends, when you spend your time around people, you start to develop a love for what they love. That is why today the streets of this country have a lot of concern and a lot to worry about, because they're spending their time with so many people in a magazine, on social media, friends, and from those people, they start to love things that they don't need to love. Because the people that you're with are going to affect what you love. A person should make that decision for themselves. Make sure you put yourself around the right people who love the right things. You want to love learning Torah, but I don't love it. I love vacationing. I don't love learning Torah. I love buying things. I don't love doing mitzvot. I like making money. I don't like giving money. Oh, you don't like it? Let me tell you how you're going to like it. Go to be in places where people are doing it. Go into a bet midrash every morning and you're going to start to love learning. Spend your time around philanthropists. You're going to start to love to give. I was with a fellow, an Ashkenaz fellow this summer. He's a very, very wealthy man. He says to me, he's already an older man. He says to me, I gave out more money last year than I ever dreamed of in my life. I would never think in my entire life I would give this money. I said, wow, it must have been a good year. You made a lot of money last year. He said, no. He said, actually, it's the same. I said, what happened? He says, I got into this group of people. And we became this team of people that's giving money to all these causes. He says, I used to give 100,000, I'm giving 1 million. I used to give 500,000, I gave 5 million. He's a very wealthy man, but he said, I couldn't imagine these numbers 2 years ago. Why am I giving it now? He says, I'm part of something. I'm loving it. You want to love something? Just be a part of it. Be around people who give, you'll be a giver. Be around the Bet Knesset, you love to pray. Be around the right people. Take the magazines and throw them in the garbage. Never find yourself following someone of little value. Because worse than wasting your time, you're actually becoming and learning from them. You're becoming their student. You're becoming someone who loves what they love. And that would be a very big disappointment for someone of your caliber. The individual in us is what we are all about. On Yom Kippur, we go in as an individual. And our only success in life will be as individuals. Our mitzvot have to be ours. Pesach Sheni, better than Pesach Rishon in that way. Our challenges, who we are, what we've been given in life, whatever it might be, that is going to be our success. From there, Saval Yisurin, to be able to go through the difficulty and be strong and to be happy and to accomplish, and to realize that whatever God has singled you out for, whatever it might be, it's something that you're going to be led with when you leave this world. It's a very special assignment. Be the individual that understands yourself, put yourself with the right people, so that you as an individual could learn to love things from them. But you'll situate yourself. Don't find yourself in the street learning from random people. Choose the people that you will learn from. You be that person that says, I want to be like that guy. I want to be giving like them. I want to be able to do that. And I'm going to choose to place myself around them so I could learn to love and learn to do just like that. That's also called an individual decision. Don't find yourself living in the street and following the herd of people. The individual in us will always find greatness. Kaved et abicha ve'et imecha. Have honor for where Hashem puts you in life. Lo tahmod. Don't look around. Learn from people that you want to learn from, but don't compare. When you live your life, you're going to find such koach and such success, because from there is going to be your greatness. Hashem should give us all the wisdom, the strength, to be able to live our greatness. Because im en ani li, because if you're not going to be yourself, nobody could replace you. You, my dear friends, are irreplaceable. Each and every one of us. We are irreplaceable. If we don't live for ourselves, nobody will be able to take our mission and our job. Let's live it, each one, as an individual, together, as a beautiful community. Hashem shall bless you all. Tesku leshanim rabot ne'emot v'tovot. רבי חנניה בן הקשה אומר, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא זכות ישראל לפיך חרבה להן תורה ומצוות שנאמר, אדוני חפש למען צדקו, ירדיל תורה.